Hello, Mzanzi. You are listening to Farmers Inside Track, proudly brought to you by Fruitful Mzanzi. Officially, this is the world's best podcast for 2024, as awarded by One IFRA, the global organization for the world's press. I'm your host, Duncan Masiwa, and in this episode, we meet Kagiso Manuka, a 21-year-old farmer who has been farming since the age of 11 and knows no other life. On his 21-hectare farm, he grows millies, buffalo grass, and runs a poultry operation with a capacity of over 1,200 broilers and layers per production cycle. But that's not all. Kagiso also manages over 200 hectares for other farmers. Let's hear his story.
So, 21 years old, and you've been farming since 11.
Yes.
Where did that start?
It started in a small valley in Jerere for Mbreve. And I used to plant in my own backyard. I used to plant maize for sustenance. So what we'll do is after we've harvested, we'll take it to the milling and they will mill it or put in 80 kg bags and it will act as food for the household instead of going to buy at the markets.
But I mean, at the age of 11, is it that you saw someone else do it? What inspired you to?
Inspired me is my grandmother. So each and every time it's a planting season, she will tell me to put manure, cow manure. She'll tell me to put seeds. And then I'll plant half of the area. She'll plant half of the area as well. Then as time went by, I ended up getting used to it. Ended up being embedded in me. And I've loved it ever since.
Is there any memories that you have, you know, waking up in the morning, working with your grandmother in the field?
Yes, most definitely, all the time. I mean, right now I'm in a 200-hectare farm. They're planting sunflower. So such memories comes by on how small I've started, how far I've came up until now to this present day. Her advises that I must not settle. I must be resilient, passionate about what I'm doing. I must take care of the crops. I must speak to them as well. I must pour all my positive energy into the field and then I'll just see the babies grow.
So if you speak to them, what are you saying to them?
I'm saying they must grow, they must eat and they must be healthy. They must know that what they're doing is beneficial to the nearest community and also to the household as well.
I mean, getting from where you were to now, you say is it 200 hectares that you farm in total?
Yes.
Okay, so break that down for me. What do you do on that 200 hectares?
So what we do, we plant a dryland cultivar for sunflower. We supply agricole seeds and sunfoil at the Koparasi. We have a good team working with all of us as young people are learning a lot from them. And what I can say is farmers do put in the hard work out there to make sure that they feed people and to make sure that everything in the market is stable, our imports, our exports. So the contribution that's driven by the community, contribution that's driven by people up top in the ag biz industry.
So you were telling me earlier on that obviously you started on your own and then you eventually started managing other farms.
Yes.
When did that start happening and why did you start doing that?
It started right after I joined AFASA. After joining AFASA, then I started to sit down, look at my thoughts, write them down, see what's missing. Then I saw a gap or, oh, there's less young farmers out there that are managing like commercial farms or commercial productions. So I then said, oh, let me take it to myself to create a database for myself, start sending out emails, start calling people, see if they can put me in their farms. Then I ended up meeting a friend of a friend who said his dad has a farm and they grow chickens and all of that. Then I said, oh, I've always been keen to learn how the poultry production works at a commercial level and especially if it's been done at a small scale. From there, I just took my short travel to a farm in Belabela, set up a meet. And the guy was happy to see a young person actually coming as far as I was coming from and being interested in a production that's far away from him. Then from there, I started taking about 50, 100 chickens from him. taking them to a market in Rustenburg, selling to informal markets. Then from there, it just got started.
What year was it?
It was this year. So I started making calls last year, December. Then around Feb, I went to the farm, had a meeting, made plans for this planting season and everything that we wish to accomplish. Then third meeting, everything was done. We're just waiting for the rain to bless us so that we can start.
I mean, you've been doing this for years now, eh? A decade, because you've been doing it since 11 years old. When I hear someone tells me that they've been doing it for a decade, it means that you've got experience, but you're quite still young. So when you go out there and you're telling people that you're a farmer and you're taking your business there, you know, how do people receive you?
People react in many different ways, but every single time I tell them my age, they just can't believe it. They're now keen to ask questions and all that. They're like, oh, you are very young and you've been doing this for so many years. And you know, so many people that actually know you for this, for what you're doing. Then the reaction is wild. The reaction is positive. The reaction is always, oh, I wish we could get more young people like you explaining to us as consumers, what, oh, this is actually how it works. And most definitely it works.
Was there ever a moment where you wanted to give up?
Yes, there was. Before I could start reaching out to look for farms, I was actually looking for a place where I could do my practicals.
I assume that between the ages of 11 and 18, you hadn't studied agriculture formally.
No. Okay. I only started agriculture in 2022 at Nelson Mandela University. I started with a diploma in agriculture management. Then I realized, the fees are killing.
And you were paying yourself?
No, my parents were paying, okay. But they were trying to find ways to find bursaries and all of that. And if you're not paying, you don't get your results. So you can't submit your results to the beneficiary that offer bursaries. So from there, I just said, since I'm getting calls left, right, and center about what's happening, I'm getting calls from clients. We haven't seen you in a very long time, and it's very unusual for you not to be here, especially when there's a rush in Hammanskraal or Joburg. In Deep Sloot. And I said, I'm still schooling. I'm now starting to go to universities to study agriculture formally so that I could have qualifications that show actually that, I do have the experience and I am qualified also. Then I ended up switching to go to their Farmers Academy because they are very subsidized. Their courses were affordable. So I did livestock production. I was top of the class. I got awards and all of that. It was great. Then it became a game changer for me because then at the point where I felt like giving up, that really pushed me up and said, you know what, you can do this.
What made you want to give up?
Funds, I'll be quite honest. Farming needs capital. And if you don't have that capital lying around, I mean, your head just goes sideways.
It's a lot of stress for a 21-year-old boy. And you were even younger that time, no?
I was even younger.
Hey, what are you carrying the world on your shoulders? Carrying the nation.
Well, how can I do you? It's love. I put in the work, I put in the love. And from there, I just said to myself, now I need to branch out. I need to find something that I'm good at. Then I realized that I'm good at sales, negotiation skills. Then I ended up running a construction company in Rustenburg that ended up funding my dream to have a full capacity in one house in De La Vela. And I started chickens. Now I'm selling my own chickens instead of selling other
people's chickens.
Yeah.
Nice one.
It is a milestone. Yeah.
I understand now why you added this happy farmer. He's been smiling the entire time. Is this just you all the time?
Yeah, this is just me all the time. Like, every single time I get to explain myself, especially when I'm provided with a platform, I just can't help myself, man, just to feel a sense of delight and joy and say, you know what, I'm out there sharing my story so that other young people as well can understand that this is possible only if you put in the work. And you meet new people, you take yourself out there. And you might not know what door will open.
Okay. But where does that come from? Like your personality? Because it seems like you've got a positive outlook on life. Where does that come from? Is it someone in your family that
Yeah, most definitely. It's definitely my parents, my grandmother, my uncle as well, because growing up in Venda, every household has a garden, has a fruit tree. So they brought those things back to Jovek. And then I started seeing how they're actually doing what I was doing back in the day in Venda, and they're doing it in Jovek with the conditions, the soil, and it's possible. Then I said to myself, oh, most definitely has to carry this to a much higher level because I like what I do.
Yeah.
I like the people around. I mean, farmers are very positive people.
All of them, are you sure?
Not all of them. But most that I meet and actually become more acquainted to, like, they've driven me. They've told me that, you know what you're doing, you're on the right track. They've always motivated me to push. Even Ipi Leng, I chatted to her for as long time as possible. So always pushed me to say, you know what, go for it. This is your world, and I can see that you love living in it. So most definitely do the most about it.
I love that. So you told me about your markets that you supply to. Tell me a bit about some of the biggest challenges that you faced throughout your journey. You mentioned the funding part, but what were some of the other challenges that you faced?
The other challenges that we face is when people try to let you sell your agricultural produce at a very low price because of you're young. So it looks like you don't know what's going on because you're young, and then they try to exploit you as much as they can to get a good price so that they can just flip it and sell it at a better price. That has always been my biggest challenge. The fact that people just see a young person doing this and then they're like, oh, there's an easy target. But then I just give them a different ball game because of when they come to you, I know the prices. I know how to negotiate. I know what I'm talking about.
Stigma.
They have that certain thing about young people, especially as a young black person. Or, oh, you're in farming and you're doing all of this. No, I can't believe it. Bring me something so that I can see. Then I bring them everything that they need. And they're like, oh, wow, now it's time to exploit you. Then they find me resilient as ever, wanting a good price for whatever that I'm selling. Yeah. That has been my biggest challenge.
What has been the best advice that you've received, but that you've actually implemented in your business?
Average is your enemy. Success is your responsibility. And anything can happen as long as you're willing to flip a switch. So change can happen as long as you're willing to flip a switch. That's the best advice I've ever got.
Yeah. You sort of carry that throughout your business.
Most definitely. Sort of become embedded in my culture because we also have a clothing brand, me and my business partner. So we are planning to do far more. You see, like Bulbul and all of this. So we're going to get there. And the name of the brand is 014. So we have a barcode. The name of the company is coded. So 014 is an area code for Rustenburg. So it inspires people because then you can take that same brand, put a different area code for a different person that comes from Cape Town, wherever, and just put 035 is KZN, and then just put 035 and put a barcode on
like that.
And then put whatever that they want, customize it, and then they can relate to it and say, oh, I got a brand, but it relates to where I come from, and it says a lot of things about it, and there are a lot of things that's going on. Most definitely, the brand is pushing, is doing well. Set up our first shop this year because, I mean, we've been moving around there as young entrepreneurs. We've been busy and I make mine.
So you agriculture, if I heard you correctly, even construction as well?
Yes, and also water and sanitation. Yeah, we're doing a water and sanitation project for the Royal Bafokeng Nation. You know, there's a national water crisis, so also helping towards that, also contributing towards that. We're a big fan of food security and water security as well.
Where do you find time, my guy?
Every single time I woke up, I just say, this is my time.
Yeah. What time do you wake up?
6 o'clock. And that's late for every farmer.
It's late. Yeah, it's late.
That's really late. But at least because of I'm running this, I don't have to worry about waking up, checking livestock, checking the crops, checking if the birds, if just to mitigate the loss on the field. Other people are doing that. And the old man has allowed me to actually move out and go make something for myself so that I could fulfill my dream of owning a very big commercial chicken farm.
Mm. How do you make sure that you get to all those things that you do?
First of all, I schedule, I delegate, and also communication services, because I'm always calling some Bumi so that they could do something, or when they need fittings, they can always have them, or when they're not updating something on the group, I can always guide them and say, oh, send this and this and that. We need this and this and that. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Kagiso Manuka. You can, of course, read more on this topic by visiting www.foodfromzanzi.co.za. And that's a wrap. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss any of the episodes. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag Team Food from Zanzi, thanks for listening.
Africa's dopest gathering for young farmers is back. Don't miss your chance to join the who's who of agriculture, from top-tier experts to game-changing farmers, at the Mzanzi Young Farmers Indaba on the 1st and 2nd April 2025 in Pretoria. Early bird tickets are now available, so head to farmingindaba.com to get your full access pass for a discounted price. That's farmingindaba.com for early bird access to a full access pass. Don't miss out.